إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما إن خير الكلام كلام الله عز وجل وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. We praise the Almighty Lord for blessing us with this deen, the deen of Islam. We praise the Almighty Lord for blessing us with the two sources of Islam, the only two sources of Islam, the Quran and the Sunnah, two sources full of knowledge and wisdom that shed light in our darkest hours, two sources that provide for us a ray, a glimmer, a floodlight of hope in the hours of despair and confusion. No, dear creatures, no other sources are required, are ever needed for all eternity, for they are indeed perfect, excellent, and complete, the sources of Islam, the Quran, and the Sunnah. The sunnah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When a Muslim understands the definition, the meaning of this, and he engraves it onto his heart, and he allows it to penetrate his soul, he will certainly, without any doubt, be always in high esteem, happy, content, knowing that nothing or no one can ever, ever crack his faith. No one can ever hurt you, whether it's a human being or an object of this world. Nothing can ever affect you if you believe with full certainty, with faith, that only the Quran and Sunnah are the sources of Islam, and you fully believe in this. Listen to the saying of Ibn Taymiyyah, rahmatullah alayh, reported by Ibn Qayyim, his student, rahmatullah alayh. He said that Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned, "What can my enemies do to me? What can my enemies do to me? In my breast is both my heaven and my garden. If I travel, they travel with me, and they never ever leave me. Imprisonment for me if my enemies place me in jail. It is no other than a religious retreat to be slain by my enemies. For me, it is no other than shahada, martyrdom in the sake of the Almighty Lord, to be banished, exiled, thrown out of my land, is no other than a spiritual journey, siyaha. What a beautiful saying. What a beautiful saying of Ibn Taymiyyah. Allahu Akbar. If we understood this meaning, nothing can ever bother you in this world. No human can scare you. No ant can hurt you. No eagle can detriment your life. Nothing can ever affect you in this life, because you know that Islam is the only way for you in this life. A poet said, "Take, O Muslims, your provisions from this world, because you do not know when night comes whether you will live to dawn or not." He said, how many young men, how many young women who were having a good time, mocking, playing, celebrating, enjoying their day, while their shrouds, their graves were being dug, their shrouds being prepared, and they knew nothing about it. How many young children whose parents hoped, wished, that they could see them as young adults, as young men and women, but they were already sent to their graves. How many brides were being beautified like a flower ready for a husband? Then death overtook her and him on the night of the wedding, and they were beautified instead for the grave. How many people strive extremely to earn this world, to gather, to pile up this world, day after day, night after night, week after week, year after year, their whole life is to pile and gather. And then after they gathered what they want to gather, they rest in order to enjoy this, death takes them. And they enjoy nothing but a shroud and a piece of cotton. Amr ibn Abdullah used to mount the minbar, the pulpit, and he would say, many are those who saw the beginning of day yet did not see the end of it. Many are those who expected morning but did not live to see it. If only you had known your appointed time and how it would come to pass, you would wallahi have detested nursing hope for worldly materials and its deception. Brothers and sisters, what are we? Who are we? We are nothing but flesh and bones. We are nothing but servants, slaves of the Almighty Lord, of Allah Ta'ala, the one who gave us this life, in order to utilize this life, not the way me or you want, no. We are slaves of the one that gave us this ability, who lent us this body that we are carrying, in order to utilize it in the way and only way he is pleased with. The day will come when your bones will be bared of its flesh. There will be no more flesh on it. Your veins and intestines will disintegrate. And your living bodies that you are carrying today will become a handful of bones underneath a pile of dirt. This is your reality. The intelligent man for this reflects, contemplates, ponders of his reality. He knows that his time is passing away. Every second that goes is gone. But it will be registered in your record, either for or against you. Our time is melting away, just like a block or cube of ice. A cube of ice underneath the sun's rays melting it. This is your time. Likewise, by the second, it's melting, melting, melting. When are you going to die? No one but Allah knows. But the intelligent man knows and believes that his real success, his only salvation, is to do all the acts that will remove him from the severe punishment of hellfire and thus admit him into eternal bliss of paradise. Isn't this what we want? Isn't this what we're striving for? You know, we work hard in this life. Why? To gain comfort, prosperity, reputation, happiness. But if you really want all this, the door is open for you. It's not hard. It's awaiting you. This is awaiting you. Happiness, salvation, successfulness is there. But not the way we think of it in regards materialistically by pursuing worldly pursuits. No. It's only, and it can only be, in eternal salvation, eternal happiness in paradise. This is real salvation. Only Allah Ta'ala knows our time, dear brothers and sisters. Only the Almighty Lord knows when the hour will come. But open your eyes. We are witnessing before our very eyes the clues of its approach of the hour through information in the Quran and Sunnah. The destitute shepherds, look at them. They're competing in building, constructing lofty high-rises, buildings. The disappearance of knowledge by the death of the scholars. How many scholars have died in the last 5 years? 5 years, you can say tens of scholars, world-renowned scholars. They're just falling down. Sign of the hour. We are witnessing intoxicants, whether it's drunk or induced in great quantities. We are witnessing illicit sexual relations becoming widespread. It's become nothing. It's become norm. You are a stranger or abnormal if you are not in this life. We are witnessing filthy riba. We are witnessing musical instruments becoming wide. Many earthquakes, time passing quickly. We are witnessing bloodshed, whereby the killer does not know why he killed, nor the killed know why he was killed. We are witnessing lameness, authority given to those who don't deserve it, the increase of police and their oppressors. We are witnessing the increase of tribulations, afflictions, trials, hatred, enmity between people. We are witnessing nudity, ladies dressed in nothing, literally nothing, one of the signs of the hour. We are witnessing the increase in the number of ladies and the decrease in the number of men. We are fortunate to have been blessed with such details of coming events as the last hour draws nearer. No other nation, no other people have been fortunate to have been blessed with such details of future trials and event that will overcome man as time elapses. However, before our very eyes, we are witnessing these signs. They testify with certainty that we are indeed on the verge of a change, the brink of a change, anytime, anytime. Thus, we must take this matter seriously. We must prepare our luggage for our final destination. Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Al-Anbiya, اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِدُونَ. Draws near to mankind. Is there reckoning? Is there destruction? Yet they turn away in heedlessness. They hear these signs. We are hearing them tonight, but we turn away tonight and say, "Ah, alhamdulillah, another lesson. Just another lesson." But it's not just another lesson. If you take it as another lesson without application, you're wasting your time. It's not just another lesson. It must move yourself, make you move, make your body change, live differently from tonight. Change your whole life. That's why it is another lesson. But let it be another lesson in the sense where it becomes another life. Transforms into the reality of life. إِنَّهُمْ يَرَوْنَهُ بَعِيدًا وَنَرَاهُ قَرِيبًا. They see it, the day of judgment, as a far-off event. But Allah says, we see it as quite near. And in Surah Muhammad, He mentions, are they waiting for anything except the hour to come to them suddenly? But its signs have already come. It's Allah talking to us, brothers and sisters. Allah saying to us, what are you waiting for? Are you waiting for the hour to confront you, to hit you, to smack you in the face? But its signs is already there. What are you waiting for? Meaning, why are you not applying Allah's law? Are you waiting for the major sign to come and hit you? Because there is nothing left but the major signs. Are you waiting for the beast of the earth to come and slap your face or mark your face with the word mu'min or kafir? But it won't benefit you if you're not ready. When this very strange, amazing, speaking, huge, hairy beast of the earth emerges. So hairy that you will not be able to tell its front from its rear. Having two things that were owned, possessed by two previous prophets, the ring of Sulaiman and the rod of Moses. When it comes out, this beast won't give you a chance. It won't give you a chance. You're either a mu'min or a kafir on that day. As soon as the people see this beast, they'll run away. They'll be terrified. But where are they going to hide? They cannot hide. When this beast comes, there's no runaway. This is a major sign decreed by the Almighty Lord. It's an exam, a trial, an affliction. When it sees the believer, it adorns the believer's face. This speaking beast, it will adorn the believer's face by writing the best word that can ever be written. It writes on his face, mu'min, believer. What a beautiful word. What a beautiful term, mu'min, believer. A sign of humbleness, submissiveness, devotion, motivation, obedience to the Almighty Lord. Isn't this what we want? Do you not want the beast of the earth to mark your face with mu'min? Absolutely. Because that word mu'min will end up being eternal salvation for you. If we only understood what the word believer meant. But are we believers? Question yourself. And when it sees the disbeliever, Ya Latif, A'udhu Billah, it will destroy his face or her face. And this is not symbolic or metaphoric. It's reality. It's genuine. It will destroy the disbeliever's face by writing the dirtiest, the worst word that can ever be written. Kafir, Ya Latif. A sign of infidelity, disbelief, filth. A sign of dirt. Is that what we want? A'udhu Billah. As Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Hanbal mentions, on the authority of Abu Umama, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the beast of the earth will emerge And when it emerges, it will mark the people on their noses, a mark that will last. So much so that a man, after buying a camel, will be asked, where did you buy this camel from? He will say, from the man that's got the mark on his face. Another narration mentions that even those on their banquet, sitting down to eat, they will start calling each other by Ya Mu'min, Ya Kafir. Because everything then will be exposed. Everything then will be exposed. And brothers and sisters, if this peace comes out, the door of repentance is closed. The door of Tawbah will be shut. Once it comes out, you cannot say no more, Allah, I believe, please put mu'min here. No, it's too late. You can never be a mu'min after that. You cannot be a Muslim after that. It's too late. But it's not now. It's not now. Because the beast has not emerged yet. As Muslim ibn Hijaj narrated the hadith of Abdul Rahman ibn Sakhr, Abu Huraira, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when three things appear, no good will do to a soul to believe in them then if it did not believe before nor earned righteousness through its faith. And he mentioned one, if the beast emerges from the earth, the coming of the beast. Likewise, another sign that if it emerges, no good will do to the soul to believe in it then, is the sun rising from the place of its setting, the west. A sign that will be witnessed by people's eyes, the eyes that the Almighty Lord has blessed you with, has given you to look at all that which is lawful to look at. The day when people will see with the blessed eyes that they have been given, they will see the reality, the truth, the fact, and they will believe. They will believe. When they see the sun coming from the west, they will say, we believe, but what do you believe? When do you believe? After you've seen reality? What, you have to see the unseen to believe? Where were you before, hamakallah? Where were you before? Where were you before? Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari mentioned in a narration narrated by Abu Dharr that Muhammad asked Abu Dharr, Ya Abu Dharr, do you know where the sun goes when it sets? He said, I do not know, O Prophet of Allah. He said, it travels until it prostrates itself beneath the throne of the Almighty Lord, seeking permission for it to rise again. This is every single time. When the sun sets, every single time, it seeks permission. Ya Rab, can I rise or not? And Allah will allow it to. But a time will come when Allah will say, go back from where you came. And that will be the day, as the hadith mentions, that no good will do to a soul to believe in it then, if it believed not before, nor earned righteousness through its faith. Where are those who have been warned? Where are those who joke? Who take it as a mockery, as a laughter? Who say it does not mean this, it means another meaning, symbolic, it's something else. Wallahi, you will not be able to benefit after you see it with your own eyes. The eyes that the Almighty Lord has given you, has blessed you with. The eyes that will be questioned on the day of resurrection, of how did you use it? What did you look at? Why did you look at this or that? It will speak on your behalf. It will speak on your behalf, and your mouth will be sealed. Can you please get that? Yes, please.
يَوْمَ يَأْتِ بَعْدُ آيَاتِ رَبِّكَ لَا يَنْفَعُ نَفْسًا إِيمَانُهَا لَمْ تَكُنْ آمَنَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَوْ كَسَبَتْ فِي إِيمَانِهَا خَيْرًا. the day that some of the signs of your Lord do come. But no good will it do to a soul to believe in it then if it believed not before, nor earned righteousness through its faith. Look at this, how this verse explains the reality of a Muslim. If it believed not before, the second phrase of the verse says, nor earned righteousness through its faith. In other words, it's not only to believe, it's as well conditioned to acts or earned righteousness through its faith. Are they waiting for the signs to come to them suddenly? But its signs has already come. Are they waiting for Gog and Magog? Ya'juj wa Ma'juj? Two hidden tribes of people from the offspring of Adam? How do they look? Allahu A'lam. Some said they look like an arz, which is a huge tree. Others said they have four arms in height and four arms in width. Others said they got big ears, so big that they use one of them to lie down on as a mattress and the other as a blanket. Opinions. Is it genuine? Is it authentic? Allahu Ta'ala A'lam. No confirmation. We don't accept it. We don't accept it. How do they look then? Allahu A'lam. They are from the Banu Adam, from the tribe of the progeny of Adam alayhi salam. They might look like us, you do not know. They could be the English people, you don't know. But I do not think so. Dhulqarnain, who was a righteous king ruling the east and the west, Allah Ta'ala gave him the ability, the power to build, to erect a huge barrier which restrained Gog and Magog behind it. However, ever since that barrier was built, they've been trying to dig their way out of this barrier. Every single day, they are digging. They are digging. As soon as they see a hole and light piercing through that hole, the one in charge says to them, stop, we will carry on tomorrow. And this will continue and continue and continue. But when they come the next day, they find that hole stronger, that barrier stronger than ever. But the day will come when Allah Ta'ala wills, allows them to come out. That will be the day when their leader says, after they see the light through that hole, Insha'Allah, will continue tomorrow. So the next day they come and see the hole exactly as they left it. So they continue digging that hole until they come out. And they ravage the earth. They drink all the water. They harm the people. They will strike their arrows into the heavens and it'll come back with some kind of blood on it. They will say, we have beaten the people on the earth and overcome those in the heaven. They'll go past a lake called the Tabariyah in Palestine. The first one that gets to this lake, he will start drinking. When the last one gets to this lake, he will say, there used to be water here. In other words, they would have drank all the water. It's a huge lake. And this actually is mentioned in a narration collected by Muslim ibn Hijjaj on the authority of Fatima bint Qais, that when Tamim al-Dari, who was a Christian man, saw the Antichrist, the one-eyed liar, in the monastery, in a huge cave, where Allahu A'lam, he saw his hands tied to his neck. He had iron shackles between his legs up to his ankles. And the Dajjal, this liar, asked Tamim and his companions questions. He said to him, how is the date palms of Baysan, a place in Jordan, do they bear fruit? He asked him, how is the lake of Tabariyah in Palestine? Because what do you want to know about it? Does it hold water? They said, it holds a lot of water. It's full. Soon it will be empty. Soon it will be empty. Gog and Magog will gobble it down. Then he kept asking him questions until he reached and asked him, how is the unlettered prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What has he done? Did the Arabs fight against him? Tamim said, yes, they fought against him. He goes, it is better for them to follow him. It is better for them to follow him. Alhamdulillah, we are the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the one-eyed lawyer speaking. This is the Antichrist speaking. This is the Dajjal in himself speaking, saying it is better for them to follow him. Are you not happy that you are a follower of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He's a liar, but he's spoken the truth. This liar is a liar, the biggest liar. He's a devil. Yet he's spoken the truth. It is better for us all to follow him. Then he said, I'll tell you about myself. I am the Dajjal. I will soon be permitted to leave this place. I will travel the earth. I will have 40 days in which I will pass through every single town except Mecca and Medina. Every time I try to enter either one of them, I will be met by an angel bearing an unsheathed sword, uncovered sword, preventing me from entering it. He is from among the offspring of Adam, this Antichrist, this one-eyed liar. He will be given 40 days, but one of those days will be like 1 year. Another would be like 1 month. A third would be like 1 week. And the rest of the days would be like our normal days. He was described as being huge, a huge man, red complexion, short curly hair, one-eyed. The other eye looks like a floating grape, Between his two eyes, written, kafir, kafir, the dirtiest word that can ever be written. Everyone can read it except the kafirun. Every single Muslim will be able to read this word, literate or illiterate, except those who are not believers, except those who will follow him. He mentions, sallam, that no tribulation on earth since the creation of Adam will be worse than the tribulation of this liar, of the Dajjal. He will begin by saying, I am your prophet. But there will be no prophet after me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Then he will claim that he is the Lord. He is your Lord. But you will not see your Lord until you die. He will have with him paradise and hell. But that which he claims paradise is reality, hellfire. And that which he claims to be hellfire is paradise. He will be given the authority, the power over one man, whom he will kill and then cut in two for Saul. He will say, look at this slave of mine. I will resurrect him. And he will still claim that he has a Lord other than me. So Allah Ta'ala will resurrect him. And the Dajjal will ask him, who is your Lord? He will say, my Lord is Allah. Allahu Akbar. What a beautiful saying. Who is our Lord? Our Lord is Allah Ta'ala. What a beautiful word. What a beautiful statement. My Lord is Allah Ta'ala. Not Allah wal Uzza. Not Jesus. Not the cow. Not the dates that are led to them God. Not Gandhi. Not Hare Krishna. Not the stick that we're here. Their Lord is no other. Our Lord is no other. Walillahi alhamd. The one that gave us this life, Allah Ta'ala. And he will say that you are the enemy of Allah Ta'ala. My Lord is Allah, and you are the enemy of Allah. You are the Dajjal. And he will say, by Allah, I have never been more sure of this than I am today. And Muhammad SAW said about this person, he will have the highest status among my imma in paradise. Wouldn't you like to be this person? SubhanAllah. Yani wallahi, we should be doing dua day and night to be this person. In another narration, it's mentioned that the Dajjal will try to slaughter him, saw him in two again. He did it the first time by the will of Allah. He'll try to do it again, but Allah Ta'ala will make the space between his collarbone and neck copper. So he'll try and he will be unsuccessful. He will not be able to do anything to him. Then he'll grab him by the legs and the arms and throw him to what they believe his evil followers as being hellfire, but in reality he's been thrown into eternal bliss of paradise. Just like the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. How beautiful is that? And the narration mentions in that one that he will be the greatest martyr in the sight of Allah, Lord of the worlds. Allahumma ja'alna min ha'ulat. Allahumma ja'alni wa kum inshallah ta'ala hadha ar-rajul. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Imagine being that person, you know, it's just imagine it. How beautiful. The greatest martyr and the highest person in paradise. Allahu Akbar. What a beautiful, beautiful thing that can be given to us. Allahu Akbar. Amani tribulation is that he will pass through a town, this evil one-eyed liar, this Satan. He'll pass through a town whose people will deny him. And all the stock, the livestock, will die. They won't be called livestock after that. They'll be called dead stock. And then he'll pass through another area whose people will believe in him. So he'll issue a command to the heavens, rain, and it rains. And to the earth, to bring forth its crops, and it does, by the will of Allah Ta'ala. And the grazing animals return from grazing fatter than ever, big, chubby bellies, because of the crops that the earth produce. Among his tribulations is that you have a mountain of meat, a mountain of meat and bread, a river of water. He will walk on earth like a cloud driven by fast wind, calling people to his false religion. Who are his followers? The majority of his followers are Jews. One narration says 70,000 Jews. And likewise, Arabs. The narration mentions Arabs will be a lot of his followers, the ignorant Arabs. He will go to an Arabian desertman, like a nomad, Bedouin, and he will say to him, what would you do? Or what would you say? Would you believe in me if I bring back your mother and father? He said, yes. You know what can do that but Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala will make that. He will assume two devils, will assume the appearance of his mother and father, and then they will call out to this child, oh son, follow this person for he is your Lord. Follow him for he is your Lord. And likewise, his followers will be ladies, females. In one narration it mentions that the man will tie his mother, his sister, his daughter, his auntie, and every female relative to a pole, fearing that they may chase this one-eyed liar. As for his death, it will be time for Salat al-Fajr, when Isa ibn Maryam will descend, and he will descend wearing two garments dyed in saffron, placing his hands on the wings of two angels. As he's descending, he lowers his head. Beads of perspiration will fall from it. If he raises his head, beads of pearls will scatter from it. His fragrance, every kafir that smells it will die. And it can be smelt, his breath, as far as he can see. His descendants, Isa alayhi salam, will be on the safe sec, a whole group of Muslims gathered together, ready to fight the Dajjal. It will be Salat al-Fajr, and the Iqamah will be just about to be announced when the leader of this prayer of the congregation will be Al-Mahdi, Muhammad ibn Abdullah. He will step back when he notices Isa coming down, and he will tell Isa, please lead us in prayer. But Isa will place his hands between the shoulders of Al-Mahdi, and he will say, pray, for the prayer has been made or announced for you. So Al-Mahdi prays, and after the prayer, Isa alayhi salam says, open the gate. The gate will be opened, and behind that gate will be no other than this one-eyed liar with an army of pigs, army of Jews. And there They will be bearing all of them, a sword and a shield. They'll be all of them. They can hear that noise. Every single one of them. So you know how you say Allahu Akbar, then I say Allahu Akbar, I say that instead. Allah yafi an rahmani ya rab, ubidna min hawa al-akh nazir. So when they see this enemy of Allah Ta'ala, the Antichrist, when he sees Isa alayhi salam, he starts dissolving like salt dissolves in water, and he runs away. But Isa will call out and say to him, you will not die until I strike you with my sword. So he will meet up with him on a gate called the Eastern Gate of Ladd. This is all in the Middle East. And there, Isa alayhi salam will strike him with his sword, and he will die. He will die. And all the Jews, his army, will be deflated. There will be nowhere to hide, not a wall, not a tree, not a stone, not a creature, except this inanimate or animate creature will say, O Muslim, behind me is the Jew, come and kill him. O Muslim, behind me is the Jew, come and kill him. Thus, Isa and the companions will win over these evil people, and they'll at the same time do dua, pray for Allah Ta'ala to destroy Gog and Magog, because Gog and Magog will be in that time, Ya'juj and Ma'juj. They'll still be there, and they'll be causing mischief on earth. So they'll do dua, Isa will do dua, and the companions of Isa, the Muslims, that Allah Ta'ala destroys Gog and Magog. So Allah Ta'ala will send an insect that will destroy Gog and Magog by biting them on their necks, and the next day they will all perish as one. And then they'll do another dua to Allah Ta'ala, that he sends birds like the camel's necks, long birds, which will carry Gog and Magog and take them wherever Allah Ta'ala wills. And that will be the end of them. After that, peace and security will prevail on earth, whereby the lions will graze with the camels, the tigers with the cattle, the wolves with the sheep. The kids will be able to play with snakes without coming to harm. Wealth will be in abundance. No one will care about it. The rain will come down in abundance. The earth will bring forth its blessings. A single pomegranate, you know what Roman is, the Roman pomegranate, will be eaten by a whole party. And they'll even seek shelter underneath its skin. A milch camel will supply for a whole party of milk. Like a whole party will be supplied for their milk from one camel. A cow will supply for a whole tribe, and a sheep will supply for a whole family. There will be no enmity between two persons after this, and Isa alayhi salam will not come with any new laws. Instead, he'll be a follower of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. For indeed, the deen of Islam is the end of all deens. Allah Ta'ala will end every sect, every religion other than Islam. Isa alayhi salam will kill the pig, abolish jizya, and break the cross. And thus he will live for 40 years. He will die. He'll be preyed on and buried by the Muslims. Other events that will occur before the last hour is the crushing or the demolishing of the Kaaba by an Ethiopian army. As the narration mentions, Muhammad ibn Sa'id al-Bukhari, that Muhammad said to us, as though I am seeing him, he'll be a black man with thin legs plucking the stones of the Kaaba one after another. And the narration mentions that he'll be a thin-legged man from Ethiopia who will demolish the Kaaba. Another event that will happen is the disappearance of the Quran. Another event that will happen is three places will sink and be swallowed by the earth, one in the east, one in the west, and one in the Arabian Peninsula. And scholars have referred to this sinking, swallowing of these places as being an epic of giant earthquakes, you can say. And Allah Ta'ala A'lam, has it happened or not? Allah Ta'ala knows best. Now, other things that will happen is before the last hour, Allah Ta'ala will send a pleasant wind which will serve under the armpits of every single person, and will take the life of every Muslim, and only who will remain? The wicked people. And thus they will act as careless as birds with the characteristics of beasts. There will be people who will be riffraff and hooligans committing to each other on the streets. The best of them on that day will say, after seeing a fornicator and a fornicatress, isn't it better for you to do it behind the wall? Likewise, they would not admire any good. Instead, they will condemn that which is good and appreciate that which is evil. Satan will come to them in the human form and say to them, why do you not worship me? They will say, what do you want us to do? He will say, worship the idols, and they will do. That's the first thing. After all this, after all the major signs have occurred, the blowing of the trumpet will occur. The blowing of the trumpet. And that will be on a day of resurrection. As Allah Ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Muddathir, فَإِذَا نُقِرَ فِي النَّاقُورِ فَذَٰلِكَ يَوْمَئِذٍ غَيْرُ يَسِيرٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ غَيْرَ يَسِيرٍ. I'll say it again. فَإِذَا نُقِرَ فِي النَّاقُورِ فَذَٰلِكَ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَوْمٌ عَسِيرٌ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ غَيْرَ يَسِيرٍ. If the trumpet is blown, that will be the day of distress, whereby it will be very, very hard, far from easy for those without faith. And thus, after that, the trumpet will be blown. As Muhammad said to us, that how can I be happy when the bearer of the horn has placed the trumpet on his lips, waiting for the command to blow the trumpet? He does not even blink his eye, subhanAllah. From the time he was created, this bearer of the horn is Israfil. He's placed this trumpet on his lips, waiting for the command. The narration mentions that he's scared to even blink his eyelids. Why? Fearing that the command might come and he misses it. And this will happen on a Friday. On a Friday whereby the first person that hears it will be a person who set in what his cistern meant for supplying water for the camels. When he hears it, he will faint and everyone else will faint. Another narration mentions that they will bend their necks from to one side and raise it from the other side, and no one will be able to complete that which they began. And then what happens after that is Allah Ta'ala will send rain like dew, and that will be like the matter of like urine, and that will reconstruct the whole bodies. As the narration mentions, that between the two blows there will be 40. It was said, 40 what? Abu Huraira, 40 what? He goes, I do not know. 40 days, Allahu A'lam. 40 years, Allahu A'lam. But everything of the body, he said, will decay, will be decomposed, except the coccyx bone. And the coccyx bone is the bone that is like a triangular shape on the base of the spinal column. This is the only thing that will remain of the body. And thus Allah Ta'ala, with this rain, he will reconstruct the whole body. And after the first blow, the second blow will come, and that will be 40, Allahu A'lam, days, weeks, months, years. No one will know. Allah Ta'ala will make the Israfil, command it to blow the second trumpet, and thus man will stand up before his Lord. They will be commanded to go to their Lord, and there they will stand in a new world, not knowing what is going to take place. Thus, it will be called out, bring a group of people to the hellfire. In other words, bring a group out for the hellfire. It will be said, how much? It will be said, 999 from every thousand. 999 from every thousand to the hellfire, and that will be the day when it will make the young child, the children, old due to its terror. And then after that, Allah Ta'ala will cause universal alteration, whereby man will find himself in the world he has never ever seen or lived before, but he's only heard or read in Allah's scriptures. The Almighty Lord, of his power and greatness, glory and perfection, will cause alteration in the whole universe, in the planets, the stars, the moon, the sun, the earth, the heavens, in everything, the plain fields, the oceans, the rivers, the seas. Alteration will be complete then, and then after that, Allah Ta'ala will command the day for retribution, the day of judgment. This, inshallah Ta'ala, will leave you at. Our next lesson, inshallah Ta'ala, will be the soul. Then after that will be death, and how Allah made it the destiny for his slaves. After that will be the soul's journey. After that, inshallah, is the grave, the interspace. And we'll be talking about what benefits the people in the grave. Do the dead hear, and so forth. The lawful and unlawful acts of the grave, and so forth. Likewise, after that, we'll be speaking about the names of day judgment, the resurrection, and how man will be resurrected barefooted, uncircumcised and naked. Then we'll speak about the gathering and how the believers will be gathered with light, shimmering with brightness, and how the unbelievers will be gathered on their faces, dragged into hellfire. The gathering of the unjust, the beggars, the people of pride, arrogant, the mujahideen. After that, we'll be talking about, inshallah ta'ala, the records, the reckoning, the fount, the scale. After that will be the kantara. And before that will be as-sirat, which is the bridge over the hellfire, and how man will cross over that as fast as a wink of an eye, or others will be like a lightning, or as fast as a strong wind. Others will be like creeping, crawling, walking, or dragged over that. And thus we'll talk about the kantara, another bridge after this, which where people will retaliate for the injustice done to them in this world. And then we'll talk about the intercession, and thus we'll talk about paradise and hell, and how hell will be dragged by 70,000 bridles, each bridle dragged or pulled by 70,000 angels. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.